Welcome to the Shir Lekutechiches Chelik Yedalet Nitzavim Aleph. They recently released the Rebbe's Eretz Hagoah to the Sicha, and we find that entire paragraphs of the Sicha, particularly the key paragraph in the explanation, as well as a lot of the Yena Shel Torah, the message of the Sicha, is written by the Rebbe himself. This Sicha deals with the Rashi, which is seemingly a technical Rashi. It's linguistic. It deals with a masculine or feminine, hazeh or hazois. The Rashi is also a rather difficult Rashi. There's a few different texts of the Rashi. The Rebbe resolves that, but then the Rebbe takes a message for our entire approach to Torah, for our way that we carry out Torah mitzvahs, and to the entirety of Teshuvah, because Nitzavim is read the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, all from this particular Rashi. And the Rashi itself is really dealing with a tipcha, with a cantillation mark in the Torah, which that brings us this entire beautiful message. So let's get right into it. On the last day of Moshe's life, he gathered all of the Jewish people and he tells them, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem, you all stand here today. Li'avrecha bebris, so you pass through. So Moshe brings all the Jewish people into a covenant with Hashem on the final day of his life. Now, Moshe says, Pasuk Yudches, he says, V'hoyah, there'll be somebody that B'shameh is Dibrei Allah Azoy, somebody that when he hears this curse, so he's going to say, he'll be dismissive. I'll be okay. Nothing's going to happen. So Pasuk Yudches, L'yoyva Hashem Seleach Loi, Hashem will be unwilling to forgive him. What's going to happen to such a person? So, in Pasuk Chav, Perek Chav, Tes Pasuk Chav, what's going to happen to this person is V'hivdiloi Hashem l'ra'a, Hashem will separate this person for the harm, Mikol Shifte Yisrael, from all the tribes of Israel. Kechol Alei Sabris, in accordance with all the oath curses, HaKesuva B'Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, which are written in this Torah scroll. We read about it last week in Parshas Kisavei, 98 curses that are going to happen to the person who goes away and is dismissive of Torah. But here it says, Kechol Oli Sabris, in accordance with all the oath curses, Haksuba B'Sefer HaTorah Azel, which are written in this Sefer Torah. The word B'Sefer HaTorah Azel, in this Sefer Torah, the Hazeh is a masculine term. Now, lastly, in Parshas Kisavei, we had towards the end of the 98 curses, there was kind of a bonus. In addition to all the terrible things that will happen to the person who is dismissive of Torah to enter the nation, so then it says, "Gam this is Perik Chaf Ches Pasuk Samach Aleph, Gam also." Kol choli, any illness, b'chol machl, every illness and every plague, asher loin chosuv, which are not written b'sefer haTorah hazois, in this sefer Torah, yalim alecha Hashem, Hashem will bring upon you adi shamdach until you are destroyed. So, in addition to all of the curses that are listed out, there's also going to be anything, all the illnesses and all the plagues that are not written b'sefer haTorah hazois in this sefer Torah, Hashem is going to bring upon you. But we have a slight variation. In Parshas Nitzavim, in our Pasuk, it said, B'sefer HaTorah Hazeh, what's going to happen to the person who is dismissive of the covenant is what is written B'sefer HaTorah Hazeh in this Sefer Torah in the masculine. In Parshas Kisavai, it said, in addition to all of that, there's going to be even more curses, Asher lo yichsuva, which are not written b'sefer haTorah hazois in this sefer Torah, but using the feminine term. So Rashi says, haksuva b'sefer haTorah hazeh in our pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, perik chav tes pasuk chav. So, what's going to happen to the person who's dismissive of the covenant? All of the kechol olei sabris, all of the curses of the covenant hakesuva, which this is the words of Rashi, quotes in the pasuk hakesuva, which are written b'sefer haTorah hazeh in this Sefer Torah. So Rashi says, Ulamaila hu aimer. Earlier, last week's Parsha Bashas Kisavei, the Torah uses the expression B'Sefer HaTorah Hazois. He used the words B'Sefer HaTorah Hazois. Now, where did it say B'Sefer HaTorah Hazois? So it said it, referenced by Gam Kol Choli V'Chol Machalo. The pasuk that we read earlier, which begins with the words also all illnesses and all plagues, B'Goyim Menzo, etc. So over there, he uses hazois lashon nekevah. This is a feminine term. Why? Because musav el hatorah. Because the word hazois, this is going on this Torah. The word Torah is a feminine word. So when you would say this Torah, you would say Torah hazois. Hazel lashon zachar. But when the Torah uses the word hazel with the masculine musav. El ha-sefer. It's going on the sefer. There is the word sefer ha-toyraz. The word sefer is a masculine word. So if you're referring to the sefer, you call ha-sefer ha-zeh. This sefer, the masculine. Now, how do I know the difference? So Rashi explains, Vayidei pisuk ha-taymim heim nechlokim l'shtei l'shemes. So the by means of the incantation, by the cantillation punctuations, that's how they are demarcated into two separate interpretations. In other words, here the Hazeh is going on the Sefer, there the Hazois is going on the Torah, and I know that because of the cantillations. Why? Because the Parshas are Kalalos, because when we're dealing with the Kalalos, and the Parsha deals with the Kalalos in Kisavai, HaTipcha, so the Tipcha, Tipcha goes like this. Tipcha. It's somewhat of like a little semi-comma. It divides the word, its word, and the next word. So the word, the tipcha nesuna tachas b'sefer. So the word, the tipcha goes under the word b'sefer. So if I'll read it to you for a moment, over there, we would say, asher lei chasuv. B'sefer hatoiro hazois. So there was a tipcha that separated b'sefer and then hatoiro hazois. The word Torah and zois are connected. V'hatoiro hazois tvukim. That's Rashi says. The word Torah and the word zois are attached to each other. So the word zois, this, is going on the Torah, and therefore there, it's a feminine term. That's why over there it says the word hazois. The kan, however, over here in Parshas Nitzavim, so hatipcha nesuna tachas ha-toyra. So the tipcha is under the word toyra. So I'll read it to you for a moment. The words over here, the way it words is haksuva b'sefer ha-toyra hazer. So B'sefer HaTeiro. So the tipcha, which is like the semi-comma, is under the word Teiro. Hazer. So Nimsa. Sefer Teiro. Dvukim Zolazah. So we have B'sefer HaTeiro. Sefer and Teiro are connected to each other. L'fikach Lashin Zecher Nefel Acharav. Sha'al Lashin Nefel Ala Sefer. So therefore we will use a masculine term because the Zeh is going on the Sefer Teiro. You know, again, in Kisavei it was the sefer, in the sefer of HaTorah HaZois, this Torah, in the book of this Torah. But in Parshas Nitzavim, the this is going on this book of Torah. It's the book of this Torah, which would be a feminine Torah HaZois, or this book of Torah, Sefer HaTorah HaZois. That's the Rashi. Now, just to be aware, there are various texts of this Rashi. The Rebbe is following the classic text, and the note the Rebbe explains the text that is being quoted. But if you're going to use the article Rashi Chumash or the Mitsuda article Chumash, the Mitsuda English Chumash, there are is a different text of the Rashi, and they're not the same text as either. There's a number of different variations in this Rashi. But we're going to use the classic text that the Rebbe quotes in the Sikh. So the Rebbe asks five questions. Again, just to be clear, it's a rather technical Rashi, gave a basic answer. One time it's a Zeh, one time it's a Zeus. Depends if you're going on the Sefer, then you'd use the Maskim. If you're going on Torah, then you'd use the Fem. Five questions. Number one, Rashi is explaining the word Hazeh. So why doesn't he just quote in the Dibur HaMaskil? And Rashi's, what he quotes from the Pasuk, which is one of the basic indicators of what Rashi is coming to explain, he should just quote the word Torah Hazeh. Or Torah Hazeh here. But Rashi quotes, HaKesuva B'Sefer HaTorah Hazeh. HaKesuva B'Sefer HaTorah Hazeh. So what's the word HaKesuva doing over there? The word, the comparison, the contrast between our Parsha, Parsha Kisava, is in the words Sefer HaTorah Hazeh. Number one. Number two is when Rashi says, Ulamaila hu oimer, and earlier the Torah said Besefer HaTorah says in this Sefer Torah. Then Rashi goes back and he says, and where was it earlier? Where was it earlier? When it said in the pasuk that began Gam Kol Choli V'Chol Machle V'Goimer, also all of the illnesses and all of the plagues. So that pasuk it had said Besefer HaTorah says. So why does Rashi have to kind of go back and tell us where it was earlier? And if he is telling us where it was earlier, why does he bring so much of the pasuk? He says, Gam kol choli b'chol machla. Just could have said earlier, where earlier? In the pasuk, Gam kol choli. And again, if Rashi is trying to tell us where it said earlier, b'sefer Torah zois, so why did Rashi say Ulamaila, earlier the Torah said Gam Kol Choli, and there it said B'Sefer Torah Zeis. Rashi said, no, earlier it says B'Sefer Torah Zeis. Where earlier? Where it says the words Gam Kol Choli. He brings the latter half of the Pasuk, the prior half of the Pasuk, after bringing the latter half of the Pasuk. Number three. Number four is, again, as Rashi is explaining the cantillation, Rashi says, the parshas ha-kololos, in the parsha of the kololos, the tipcha was under the word b'sefer. Parshas ha-kololos, ha-tipcha nesuna tachas b'sefer. I mean, we know what we're talking about. I should have said, there, the tipcha was before the word, was under the word b'sefer. Parshas ha-kololos. In the parsha of Klala, the tipcha is under b'sefer. It's a very technical question, but the Rebbe is going to take these three words and he's going to learn an incredible message. That's number four. Number five is kind of the basic question. Great. So you explain the linguistic difference. And you explain that the cantillation indicated why there it should be a feminine zeis and here it should be a masculine zeis. But why the difference? In other words, why does the Torah read one differently? One time it goes on the Sefer, one time it goes on the Torah. Why the difference? What's going on over here? So, we have five questions in this very technical Rashi. So now, the Rebbe tells us to step back for a moment. What would be the appropriate way to read this, the word Hazeh? Would it be appropriate that it goes on the word Torah? Or would it be appropriate that it goes on the word Sefer? And we explained that in general, it would be appropriate that the word Zeh, the this, would go on this Sefer Torah. So it would be appropriate to put the word Sefer HaTorah HaZeh. And therefore, our Pasuk, stand alone, actually doesn't have any linguistical problems. In other words, why does our pasuk choose the masculine? Sefer HaTorah Zeh. Because that's linguistically appropriate. It's called a Sefer Torah, a book of Torah. So if it's called a book of Torah, so we would use the Zeh, this book of, this would go on this book of Torah. So, and the way that Rashi knows this, that here, the word, this book of Torah is the appropriate language, is because it says, HaKesuva, what is written, the Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, what is written in this book of Torah. So we're talking about a written word. What is the written word in this, what is written in this book of Torah? So by quoting, this is the first question, by quoting the word HaKesuva, B'Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, the word HaKesuva, which is written in this book, what book? The book of Torah. So by quoting that, Rashi is explaining or inferring to us that in this pasuk, we don't have a problem why it uses the masculine, because we're talking about which is written in the written work, in the Sefer. The written work. What written work? Torah. Therefore, Rashi's question is not on our pasuk, why our pasuk says b'sefer haTorah Zeh. Rather, Rashi's question is only on ulamai lehoimer. So, if the appropriate way to read or to state this would be the word hazeh goes on the sefer, it goes on the word safe on the written word, and therefore it is a masculine term. So why earlier does he use a feminine? Why earlier does it say Sefer HaTorah Hazois? So that's Rashi's question. So Rashi he's being clear by stating the words HaKesuva. He is telling us that which is written. We're talking about the writing, which refers to the book, refers to the Sefer, HaKesuva B'Sefer. And the Torah is just the definition of the book. And therefore, the appropriate way of this, the word this goes on this book, this Sefer Torah. And we will therefore use a masculine term. And Rashi begins and he says, Ulamayla Huayma, but earlier, the Torah had said, Sefer HaTorah Zeis. So we are bothered why earlier the Torah says, Sefer HaTorah Zeis. Okay. So why earlier does it say Sefer HaTorah Zeis? So Rashi says, Ulamayla Hu Omer, earlier it said, the Sefer HaTorah Zeis. The word Zeis, the feminine, was going on the word Torah, on this book of Torah, or I should say, the book of this Torah, not on this book of Torah, the book of this Torah, the book of this Torah. Therefore, this is going on Torah, and therefore it's feminine. So, but why does he use feminine? Why doesn't this go on the book? So here Rashi says, he says, well, let's look at the context. Earlier when the Torah said on the book of this Torah, why is this going on the Torah? What's the context? The context is Moshe trying to essentially scare, frighten the Jewish people with 98 curses. He wants to frighten them to observance of Torah, to not forsake Torah. So in that context, the key element over here is to think about what is going to be the most effective and the most kind of the most powerful message that Moshe could send to the Jewish people. And here's an interesting thing. We have a Sefer of Torah. Sefer HaTorah. Now, in the Sefer HaTorah, there's actually two elements. There is the Sefer. There is the written word of Torah. But then there is the Torah. There is the teachings. Which that which is taught in the Sefer HaTorah is far more than that which is written in the Sefer Torah. Because what is written is only a small amount, a measured amount. What is contained in the writings is far greater. So, for example, like we know that the in the writing of the Asaras HaDibros, so all of the Torah, all the 613 mitzvahs are included in the words of the Asaras HaDibros. They're not clearly written there. Written are only 10 commandments. But included, inferred, we can learn out 613 mitzvahs. So, in other words, the written word is very specific. But its message, its Torah, is far, far more. Now, over there, in Parshas Kisavet, Moshe is trying to put fear in the hearts of the Jewish people so that they do not stray from the way of Torah. So what he wants to tell them is, in addition to all, not only in addition to all that which is written, there's going to be far more illnesses and far more plagues. But even in addition to that which is inferred, so gam kol choli v'chol machala, so also all illnesses and plagues, asher loich suva, which are not written b'sefer in the book HaTorah Hazois, this of this Torah. In other words, they're not even included in the Torah, in this Torah. They're not even included in this message, in this teaching, what you have over here. Not only they're not included in the words, there's always a lot that's not included in the words, but they're not even included in the inference. Lechsuva b'sefer HaTorah Hazois, in this Torah. This message. So Rashi says that Ulam Maila Hu Omer, earlier it says Sefer HaTorah Hazois, and now Rashi begins to answer that and to explain that, because we are talking about Gam Kol Choli V'Chol Machlo, since the message here is to include also all types of illnesses and all types of plagues which are not written. In other words, to expand this as much as possible, to expand the warning and the installation of fear. So therefore, the word Hazois goes on the Torah, which are not even included in this teaching, not only in this written word. So again, in summary, in our Parsha, Parshas Nitzavim, we're referencing back to this Sefer Torah, to this written word of Torah. Therefore, the discourse on the Sefer. In Parshas Kisavei, the word Hazois is expanding on the warning to the Jewish people, and it's saying even that which is not written in this Torah, not only this written word, in this Torah, in these teachings, in this message. So, thus, we've explained why in one place we use Hazeh, one place we use Hazois, one place it's more of a reference, and that's that we use the appropriate linguistically, the word Hazeh would go on the Sefer. Earlier, it's not just a reference, but it's expanding even that which is not here and here, meaning not only here in the written word, even here in the expansive word. And that's why Rashi puts in the word Gam Kol Choli V'Chol Machlo. After, he says, also, all the illnesses and all the plagues, he puts that after he quotes the letter after the pasuk, because he's explaining the context of the pasuk, helps us understand why there we're trying to expand its message. However, Rashi says, but still, it would still seem linguistically problematic, or maybe at least the Torah should have kind of explained to us a little more. Maybe here it should just say the word, the Sefer Hazeh, in this Sefer. There it should just say, in this Torah. Why? Because by using the word Sefer HaTorah, in one place it says masculine, one place it says feminine. Why do we have, it could be misleading to us. So Rashi says, don't worry about that, because Vayidei Pisuk HaTaimim, because the cantillation marks clearly delineate. And they say over there, it's B'Sefer in the book, HaTorah Hazeh of this, Torah in the feminine. And here it's B'Sefer HaTorah Hazeh in this book of Torah. So that's in the masculine. And therefore, Rashi also puts in the words, the Parshas HaKlolis, in the Parsha of the Klolis, because again, that's just re-emphasizing that there we're dealing with the Klolis and we're trying to expand and the meaning and the warning to the Jewish people. And therefore, in the Parsha of the Klolis, HaTipcha Nesuna Tachas Basefer, the word the Tipcha, the comma kind of is under the word Basefer. So it's a technical Rashi, a technical somewhat of a technical explanation, but a contextual explanation in the context over there. We want to focus on the Torah, on the teachings, and over here in context we want to focus on the Sefer, on the written word. And therefore here he uses the Hazeh, goes on the Sefer, on the masculine, and there the word Hazois is going on the Torah, on the feminine. Now, we're going to have the message of the Sikh. So here's the problem. In the curses, there is a tipcha, there is a comma between the words Sefer and Torah. There is a divide between this written word and its greater message. What we can call perhaps the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebalpa. It's the teachings, what it's telling us and what it says. And there's a divide. There's a divide. And that's the context of the curse. The divide between the aspects of the written word and its deeper and its greater message, and the Torah Shebal Peh, that which we learn from it. So here we have the secret, the bracha. And I'm going to say this as it's stated in the Sikha, because the Rebbe wrote this in his own Ksav Yad. The entire Torah is one Torah. Even though specifically it's referred to, it says that the Torahs, there's the Torah Shebiksav, and there's the Torah Shebal Peh, and the Halacha L'Moshe, which includes the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. And within Torah itself, seemingly, there are lighter mitzvahs, which their punishment if for not fulfilling them is more minor, more severe mitzvahs, that if one doesn't fulfill them, there's a greater level of punishment. Yet, we're told that we shouldn't measure the mitzvahs. Don't sit and measure the mitzvahs of the Torah and be as careful as in a light mitzvah, as in a chamur, in a very, very strict one. Why? Because though one is a light mitzvah, and one is a chamura, one is a very serious mitzvah, but they're all the will, the desire of Hashem. And even that, which a student at a later point will be mechadish, will innovate, was also said at Sinai. And through fulfilling that, a person's also fulfilling the will of Hashem. So it's all Ratzin Hashem. Kala, Chamura, Mitzvah, Tershah B'Ksav, Tershah Bal Peh. It's all Ratzin Hashem. And this is the only reason that a person should fulfill Torah mitzvahs, is because it's Ratzon Hashem. Not because of reward, or the opposite of reward. Surely not because intellectually he is persuaded to do so. Because they are a decree and a desire of Hashem and his will are one. And the person, therefore, his simple Ratzin, his Ratzin Pashat, in his simple Ratzin, he fulfills the Ratzin Hashem. And like we know from the Rambam, in Hilchos Gerushin, a famous Rambam, that says that every person desires to do the Ratzin Hashem. And how do we do that? With Kabbalah's oil, just accepting Hashem's yoke, and Mesiras Nefesh, and complete sacrifice to Hashem. These paragraphs the Rebbe wrote by himself. That it's all the unity in Torah. It's all Ratzin Hashem, and we fulfill Torah mitzvahs for no other reason other than it's Ratzin Hashem. And we do it from our Ratzin Pashut, from our simple Ratzin. And we do it with Kabbalah Sam Sis Nafesh. That's the way to fulfill Torah. And if we fulfill Torah in that way, so Im B'chukoy Set Eilechu, if we're going to go in the way of Torah mitzvahs, so we're going to have many brachas. Like the Pasuk says, V'nisati Gishmecha B'itam. That's the way we're supposed to fulfill Torah, and that's the way that brings us brachas. Where does the Kalala begin? Where do the problems begin? So if a person starts to separate, he starts to make commas in the Torah. He says, well, this is a more beautiful teaching. This is not one Aveira leads to another Aveira. The person starts to separate and he says, well, this is a Torah Shebiksav, this is a Torah Shebapah. But it all starts because his approach to Torah is to make commas in the Torah, to differentiate. This is more important, this is less important, this is Torah Shebiksav, this is Torah Shebapah. Torah Shebiksav is more important, Torah Shebapah is less important. So this is the opposite of the way that we're supposed to fulfill Torah mitzvahs, and it causes us to have the opposite of bracha. So that's what Rashi says. The Parshas HaKlolos. In the section that the Torah deals with kololos, ha-tipcha, there is a tipcha, there is a comma between the words sefer and Torah, between the written words and between their ultimate and greatest level of meaning. Between the sefer and Torah, he put a tipcha over there. That's how all the kolos came about. And now take it a step further. How did that tipcha get there? How did that differentiation get there? Because the person forgot that there is, the pasuk says, Gam kol chol b'chol machla, asher loy chasuv b'sefer Torah says. There is that which is not written. There is beyond Torah. The person is not cognizant of the fact that there is the loy chosuv, that there is that which is not written, which is far, which is even beyond Torah, the level of Mesiras Nefesh, the level of Kabbalah Soil. And they are higher and beyond the specific avoid that's described in the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebapah, in the Sefer Torah. So if the person feels and he's in touch with the loy chosuv, with the avoid, with the service of Hashem, which is not prescribed, which is not written into the Torah, if he's in touch with that, with the Loy Chasuv, with the far greater service of Hashem, then he's not going to divide between the word Sefer and the word Torah. And that's what Moshe is doing over here. Even simply, Moshe is saying that you should know that there is more than what it's stated, more than it's inferred. And by remembering that there's more than stated and more than that's inferred, that actually brings you to the complete fulfillment of Torah Mitzvahs. So if the person feels the Leichosov, he feels that there's more here. And in the positive sense, it's not the more, chas v'shalom, more illnesses and more plagues. But in the positive sense, there's a deeper level of connection to Hashem. There's a mesiras nefesh. There's a kabbalah soil that is not prescribed in Torah. That's beyond the prescription of Torah. So then the person approaches Torah with mesiras nefesh, kabbalah soil. The person doesn't make any tipchas. He doesn't make any divides between Sefer and Torah, between Torah Shavikzah, between and Torah Shavapa. No divide. It's one Torah. That's the way that we avert chas v'shalom anything that's the opposite of bracha. And we bring about the bracha. So here we have a beautiful message. But parshas are klala. You know how the klala comes about? Because the person put a tipcha. He put a divide between the Sefer and Torah. He didn't approach Torah with the wholesomeness, with the completeness, with the oneness that it's really about. And that happens with Kabbalah Soil, through Kabbalah Soil, and through Maseiros Nefesh. And now to Teshuvah. What's Teshuvah? Teshuvah is that service of Kabbalah's oil and of Mesiras Nefesh that is beyond the prescribed Torah mitzvahs. And that's why Teshuvah can rectify and can fill the vacuum of any Torah mitzvahs that the person missed. Because Teshuvah comes from beyond Torah mitzvahs. So here we have an interesting idea. In this Parsha, Parshas Nitzavim, it's read before Rosh Hashanah because it talks about Teshuvah. It gives us the message of Teshuvah. And in this Parsha, and specifically in Rashi, in the Torah Shebiksav, the Torah Shebaal Peh, in the Divrei Chachamim, we have this depth of the message that there's no divide between the Sefer and Torah. There's no divide between Biksav and Baal Peh, Kala, Chamura, the Talmud Vasik, Asad L'Chadish, what's going to come in the future, what came. There's no divide. And that is the way, the higher way, that we serve Hashem. That appears here in the Parsha of Nitzavim, in the Parsha that deals with the Teshuvah. That's not in the Parsha of Kisavim. This Rashi appears here. This message appears here. The Parsha of Kisavim is a Parsha that warns the Jewish people what happens if they go astray. And there, if they go astray, terrible things are going to happen. And we warn them, and we tell them. But what's ultimately the purpose? Ultimately, the purpose of Ra is for us, for humankind, to reveal the depth and to transform it into light. But that's something that has to come about through our service of Hashem. So the Torah itself, it doesn't describe the transformation. It doesn't describe the teshuva aspect, the feeling of that which is far greater, far higher than just what is prescribed in Teshuvah. The Torah alludes to it, gives a remiss to it. in Parshas Kisavim. But here in Parshas Nitzavim, where we're talking about teshuva, and we're talking about what the person himself, what humankind can accomplish, can transform. So here, the Torah says that you should know, in other words, in the teshuva, there is an ability to reach, or with teshuva, is the ability and is reaching this potential where we serve Hashem with this complete wholesomeness, complete Mesiras Nefesh, where there's no Kala, where there's no Chamura, where it's all Ratzon Hashem. Our Ratzon Pashut serves the Ratzon Hashem. And that is ultimately transformative. So here in the section that deals with Tshuva, we talk about this secret that beyond what the Torah instructs us, there is the Sefer HaTorah, there's the connection of all of the Torah, the oneness of all of the Torah that comes about through our Kabbalah and our Mesiras Nefesh. And we read this the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. We read about Teshuvah because a good thought and definitely a good word, Hashem makes it, he considers it as if it was a good deed. And when it comes to teshuva, even a thought is transformative. A person can become a tzaddik gomer. So right away, through even the thought of teshuva, we are transformed and we stand all together and we bring about a ksiva v'chasima tovo, v'shana tovo, v'suka, v'gashmis, u'beruch.